welcome to episode 93. Feels good to finally know what number it is of Dropping the X, an unofficial Hunter Hunter podcast. I am your host, Dame Dr. Foxy Brown, and I'm joined by my co-host, Diego.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I feel like if I was a more like improv-minded person, like I would just make up nicknames for you in every episode.
Well, you could. I mean, if you... But you are saying, you prefaced that by saying that if I was talented.
Yeah.
Like if I was a funny person, I would have funny things to say.
I do feel like I'm not really that funny of a person. I feel like occasionally I make people laugh in conversation, but that's mostly because I'm not really paying attention. So what I say sounds like it comes out of left field.
True, but at the same time, sometimes when you say things, it's funny just because it does have that who gives a fuck sort of thing. Like mentality, like, so that to me is funny. So I don't know if other people find that hilarious, but I enjoy someone who's like, yeah, fuck you, I don't care what you have to think about this, your manga is shit.
So I think either I'm gonna make that a thing, or I'm gonna let Ed start introducing you and see if he can make it a thing, where we call you something different every episode, and then eventually we're gonna have like 40 different things to call you. And it's just going to be one episode, like, is just going to be us like taking turns calling you all of the names. And then like 15 minutes later is when you finally get to say, hey, guys.
Yeah, like AKA this, AKA that.
Because otherwise it's just Diego.
And it's pretty boring. I mean, I don't know. I never really had an online login name. I mean, for the longest time, I was Waka86 on like forums, which again, this is back to 2000.
Wait, why 86?
Because the year I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought we were the same age.
I think you're like, we're on the cusp because we share that one. We share a year or like a little bit where we're the same exact same age. That's what.
I guess it's overlap. But yeah, anyway. It's
overlap.
So now that I know I'm older than you and I'm depressed now. Waka, though?
Yeah, I like them a lot.
I kept hearing that people really liked Waka. And this, of course, is super derailing because the conversation we had earlier.
Yeah.
I know that people liked him, like, a lot. But I always thought he was lame.
He has his ups and downs as a character. More than anything, I like the character design.
Ah, okay.
I like the character design, and then I was kind of a fan that John DiMaggio voiced him. So when I go back and listen to it, it's like Dog is voicing this character, and he's like this. He's supposed to be this island bred sort of accent, you know, like a Bahamas type, like Yaman, like Jamaican.
No,
sorry,
yes, Jamaican was where you were reaching.
Jamaican, sorry, I meant Jamaican, not Bahamas.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like, hearing him try to make this voice, and it always cracks me up, but him as a character, obviously, if you play the game, you find out that he is very much, like, it's pretty much, he's, like, super religious, and all that other shit went down, but when I first saw the character designs for the game, when it first came out, I was all about him because I didn't really like Tidus. Tidus was very like Meg Ryan looking.
Nobody likes Tidus.
Oren was cool, but like he kind of had this old dude to him. And then the other two characters that were around were like Kimari or Waka that were guys.
And he was an old dude though.
Yeah, no, he was. It's funny because like when they show flashbacks throughout the game of him in his younger days, it's like he doesn't have, like, a beard. He doesn't have, like, a scar through his eye. They never explain any of that. It's just he's perfectly – he's super young. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, now he's this old dude. But yeah, so that's why I picked him. And then it was between that or Red 13 from Final Fantasy VII. Because Red 13 is by far my favorite character of all Final Fantasies.
Okay.
So I had those two, and then eventually Twitter happened, and then I was like, oh, Will of Diego makes sense, because I was really into One Piece. Just like when I had my PSN name, I was really into Bleach and Naruto, and as you know personally,
yeah,
that is still shameful to this day to me. If I could change it, I would. But I can't.
I mean, you could. You just have to, like, be okay with not having any of your trophies.
Yeah, and I can't separate myself from that,
I
so.
don't understand you people and your attachment to these fake digital trophies. Like,
It's a compiling history of everything that I've done. Same thing with like my Xbox Live gamer score.
but you would
Like,
still know that you're that guy who earned all that trophies just without the really embarrassing name.
I suppose so. I mean, I don't know. More than anything, it's just the fact that I've attached all of my information to that account. And it's like, if I did that, I have to go back and redo all of it. Because it's not only that account. It's the fact that I've had that it's the same login, the same information for PlayStation since like their Sony Rewards days. So I had a lot of free shit from them, and this is pre-PlayStation Plus. So I had a lot of games that they got sent that got sent to me for free, that only work for that ID somehow. When I try to go online or whatever, like they check that ID, and then it's pretty weird. But otherwise, I would do it in a heartbeat.
All right, if you say so. But anyway, let's get into Hunter Hunter.
Yeah, Hunter Hunter.
So, we have one episode 132, Flash and Start, and one manga chapter 342, Ordinance. And while I remember, when I was listening to the last episode, I noticed that I pronounced manga like four different ways during the course of the episode. And I think it was because I was thinking really hard about how to say it. So every other time it came out wrong.
How to say manga?
Yeah. Like I said manga at one point.
Magna.
And I was just okay.
Manga.
I hope I'm the only person that noticed that.
That is pretty funny, though.
Also have to remember at the end of the anime section, or maybe the manga section, I don't remember which one, but we do have an email.
Oh, cool. Sweet. Let's do it after the anime, because we have the anime first, and then the manga.
Right.
Awesome.
So
First of all, but before we start, we'd actually have a little bit of news. As you guys all know, the 2 year plus hiatus came to an end last week, and Togashi actually had a message for us, his fans, about the his longtime hiatus. He says, "I'm sorry for the long wait. I'm still a bit rusty, but I'll do my best." And he also expands that Togashi's saying that he's ready to have some reader backlash
Because
to what's going on.
he deserves it. And then Crunchyroll made it worse in their report by creating a chart
Oh, yeah.
of how many weeks he was on hiatus and how many weeks he released a chapter. So there was 1 year, 2006, where he released four chapters and then nothing else for the rest of the year. And then there was 2009, which is also known as the Year of Darkness,
Yeah.
where he only released two at the beginning of the year to finish off his 2008 run of, I think, what had been at that point eight chapters in a row.
And it was his longest ever.
Then he slapped those other two on to make 10 and was just, all right, I'm done for the whole year. That ran a bit into 2010, and then we got that long 28 chapters in a row. Then he took another long hiatus, came back in 2011 with 31 chapters, and then 34 at the beginning of 2012, so he could finish off the Chimera Ant arc and start this new one, and finish that also.
Yep.
And then he also wrote that prequel chapter that no one really cares about.
Well, it was for the movie. But remember we kind of went over this at one episode? Like we went through the whole thing. I'm actually glad that someone made a chart out of it. 'Cause fuck you, Togashi. Fuck you. I mean, I love you, don't get me wrong. But fuck you. So tired of your bullshit. Oh, I was sick. I'm like, yeah, you know who else was sick? Oda. And he kept
Listen,
writing.
you can't compare the two, okay?
I know, I'm just
Oda's a fool with his first manga.
Yeah.
Togashi's like on his third or fourth. He's smart enough to know that he can stick around and they're still gonna be begging him to come back.
Till this day, we still say a prayer for Oda because he is a sick old man. he's killing himself. I would want to know what happened with him, because they blamed it on health this past time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know, like, if he's sick for like 2.5 years, right? Maybe he should go like to an actual hospital rather than just staying at home.
Maybe he has been, or of course the other option is that he wasn't really sick. I don't.
That's just saying I was sick.
No, I mean, you have to explain it somehow. And health is a much better explanation than what people assume, which is I was eating Cheetos and playing video games. And I forgot that I had deadlines, so that didn't happen.
I also have a wife, and we like to go on things. Yeah, we have kids.
We like to go on trips.
Yeah.
So. All right, so episode 132, Flash and Start. Continues where the last episode left off. It starts with, while Gon was murdering Peeto, this was going on. The king had just arrived at the room. He'd spent a lot of time in with Kimugi, playing Gungi. And like, he walks in and he's looking around. He's like, something's missing. And he's growing more and more frustrated with the fact that he can't figure out what's bothering him and this gap in his memories.
Yeah, and essentially he gets back there and he starts talking about, he starts trying to remember Peeto, and at that point he starts remembering that he assigned Peeto to do something, so they're like, okay, let's do a, let's find Peeto, because I need to find him, I need to ask him a question, find him right now. And the king starts saying, I'm going to go look for the other intruders. You guys stay here. I'll talk to you guys. Or go find Peeto. I'll talk to you guys later. And then he essentially uses his N because Pufu says, King, are you sure you want to go out there and get hurt? Because you don't know what these guys are capable of. And the king turns around and is like, seriously, bro, you just gave me all your life force, and Yuppie gave me all his life force. I think I'm pretty fucking powerful as it is. So he has this display of his N, basically encompassing the whole entire palace.
Yeah, the palace and the courtyard area.
Yeah. So if you guys remember from earlier, like Peeto's N was supposed to be the most wide ranging, and that one was only up towards. That one wasn't as powerful as the king's. And so the king does this, and he immediately locates all four of the people being Ikago, Palm, Knuckle, and the chameleon guy.
Meliauron,
thank you. And he goes over to he's gonna go hunt him, and then at that point Knuckle and Meliorium are basically saying, fuck this, we gotta get out of here, we gotta retreat, this is too much, we should have called the hunters organization as soon as.
Well, that's what Knuckle was saying.
Yeah,
Meliorium was like, what are you doing, can't we just go kill him? And he's like, are you nuts, did you not feel that, have you not heard?
Yeah.
And he's like, but I could, he's like, because Knuckle tells him, like, you would have to have the lung capacity of Moral to be able to be invisible long enough for us to beat him. And he was aware from the second he felt the king's name that was impossible. And then the king decides to use his N so he can locate all of the intruders. And it's just like, they're talking, and then Knuckles turning his face back away from him. And he gets, like, judo chopped in the neck.
Yeah.
And Meliorun also gets hit. And they both go down immediately, and the king grabs them. And you see Pizzo and Poof are like, where'd the king go?
Like, they blinked. They literally blinked. And then they, like, opened their eyes from after they blinked. And the APR is gone. It explodes. He's like, oh, okay, that thing's gone. And then, like, all of a sudden, look up, and then, like, the king is there with both of them in hand. He's like, I'm going to keep these two alive, and interrogate them for answers.
And that makes Poof even more nervous, and he's just like, or, hear me out.
Let's play a game.
And the king's like, the word, earlier when they mentioned Pizzo, Pizzo also, like, brought back that feeling that something was missing, because he realized that he told Pizzo to do something for him, but he can't remember what it is. So he orders them to go and find Pizzo so he can ask for himself, what is it that's bothering me? And of course, Pizzo has no idea that Yuppie and Poof have decided that Komugi is so much of a threat that the king doesn't need to know that. So to avoid the king being able to ask Pizzo any questions, like, okay, we're going to go and do that. But they wanted him to stay put. And he, of course, is not going to, because he's bored. And there are only two more of their enemies, Palm and Ikago, left. He notes that they reacted when he sent out his N, but he didn't go after them because he went for the other two. I guess they were closer. And so Poof is like, okay, let's play a game. I have to go and spread my scales over the whole group. But what we're going to do is compete to see whether me and Yuppie, or Yuppie and I, can find Pizzo before you can find the other two. And he says, okay, cool. Well, let's make it interesting. If you two find him first, I'm going to grant you whatever wishes you want. And then they all are like, oh my god, you're the best. And he says, also, though, if I win, you guys have to tell me what you're hiding from me. And then they just, like, freeze. Because I guess they didn't expect him to know. He's like, I told you earlier, we're all connected, so I know everything that you know. And I let it slide because I realized that your loyalty to me was greater than this desire you guys are harboring to betray me somehow. Let it be known that I will kill you. And they're like, and Poof turns serious and he collects his clones back and he's now in tall form. Yeah. He like bows down on one knee and is like, okay, seriously, let me go scatter these scales. And when I come back, we'll do this. Like, I'm asking you, I'm begging you not to go while I'm doing this. Because you could literally find them in seconds. And get them with your abilities. So give us a fair shot at doing this. And he lets them go. Poof and Yuppie go together. And Yuppie's like, how are you going to do this? Because you can't split into your clones to search while you're spreading your scale. So you haven't bought us time in helping us to find Pizzo. Or to kill her before the king can find her. Because the king mentions that he saw an octopus and a person carrying a burden. So if he knew what he was looking for, it would be pretty easy to find it.
Yeah. That's why he like heads over to... He tries to go spread his scales, but then at the same time he tells Yuppie to if he finds... he tells Yuppie that if he finds Pizzo, that they need to tell him not to tell the king about Komugi. Essentially, you know, that's this whole issue is can't have him find her. It's going to be chaos if they do. Meanwhile, Ikago and Palm are hiding. Or they realize that the best place to hide is underground because maybe they can have the king not find them, essentially, because of the whole... his end may not be able to reach underground, so both them go back down to where that village was for that guy.
Yeah, I like
his staple of horse.
I like how Ikago just like runs, flips over, and like slides into the picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I knew you were coming here. Let's go.
It's like, I'm aware. But as Palm is running towards the garage door, she's checking in with everybody else, and so she sees Gon and Killua together, and Gon is essentially just in the back of, like, Killua's giving him a piggyback ride. Clearly he's not doing so well, which we will find out later as to what is going on there. But they show that picture of or they show that image of Pito just getting beat to shit.
Yeah.
And I loved it because it was like a good little, I mean, in the manga is like referenced by one little frame, but they put a lot of emphasis here. Like, yeah, I don't have to worry about Pito telling the king anything because he's fucking dead.
Yeah, he's pretty dead.
Yeah.
I just want to note that I love the music that they use whenever the king's about to do something badass.
Yeah. It is. It's really good. So then they go down to that village, and they say, you know, we're gonna hide Kumugi in a room, let her sleep this out. So they tuck her into bed, and then they're essentially leaving, and then I think that's where the episode ends.
And she kind of looks like either like she's waking up or like she's about to say something, right before it ends. That is pretty much it.
Yeah, that was the episode. Saw previews for next episode. Big plot twist coming up soon, guys. Be ready for it. It will pull at your heart.
You will, no amount of preparation, I think, can make you ready for it.
Yeah.
It's like you're gonna lose, and your feelings are gonna be in tatters. And you're going to be clawing at the walls, screaming at Madhouse, at Togashi by extension, and wondering how you ever thought your life could be full and hopeful. Because now it's not.
It is not. Life is crap. So, that was the episode. Pros, cons, I'm not sure, like, what... I like the music, I love the animation when the king threw his N everywhere. That was pretty badass. And then obviously the little scene where he like karate chops the fuck out of Knuckle and Melarion.
The only thing I'd say I wish was different was that more happened, I feel like, but I wanted the whole episode to be the king and friends. And, like, we could have dealt with the other people in the next episode, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, from here on out, there's only... obviously I don't want to spoil it for people, but, like, there's knowing where the endgame is from here, there's really not much else going on.
Yeah.
Right, like, I mean, because
pretty much everyone's been defeated or is doing something else right now. With Killua and gone, Killua's taking him to somewhere where he won't die. So,
yeah. So yeah, that's the episode. We have an email, right?
Yeah, but the email is about the manga. So.
Oh, the email is about the manga. Okay. Yeah. Well then, people that are not caught up to the manga, this is a time to say goodbye. Don't want to spoil you guys. Enjoy the episodes. They're great. Do we want to have this conversation right here, I guess?
Which conversation?
About starting from the beginning.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So we entertained a question on Twitter surrounding... Hey, I read chapter 341... It seems the series seems really interesting to me. What episode should I start at to understand Nen? Right? And unfortunately, I don't know what I was doing, whether I was playing video games or just not paying attention to TweetDeck, but I didn't notice the question until like 2 hours later. And it had already been answered by the other person tagged in the question, who was like, okay, I think he gave him episodes in the Tower arc.
Yeah, that's where he gave it. Because essentially this person hadn't been reading anything and saw the comeback of Hunter x Hunter to, as you guys know, it came back to Shonen Jump, and it also came back to the American Shonen Jump.
Right.
So both of those were simultaneous things. And people who have never read Hunter x Hunter are looking at this and going, what the fuck?
People who have read Hunter x Hunter are looking at it and going, what the fuck is happening?
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, what the fuck is happening? That's true, too. But in general, we, as fans who've been reading and have watched everything and know everything that there is we're already like, we don't know what the fuck is going on. We're just going to have to wait until there's more explanation to figure it out. So I can't imagine somebody new coming in and being like, oh, I kind of understand what's going on, or like enjoying the series. So it's a questionable thing for them to do, not necessarily to do this, but for people to go and say, oh, I think I'm just going to start reading right here, right now.
Yeah, I think that was what I had a hard part wrapping my brain around, that you would look at chapter 341. I guess with the exception of the last few pages, when they reveal the calamities, I guess that's kind of interesting on its own. But everything else is just, how is this series appealing from 341? And I guess he'd heard us talk about Nen before. And he's just like, I get that I have to understand that first, so where should I start? And me and Diego are like, you should start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because everything that's explained to us in later chapters and later episodes, all of the foundation has been laid since the beginning of the series. And it's all been, okay, I'll give you this information and then build on top of it. And I think what he wanted was, he wanted one episode where he could understand Nen and then continue to read from chapter 341 onward. Which, there's nothing about Nen that's condensed into one episode that's explainable and right. Wing explained Nen once. He was lying. He explained it again, and I think it took two episodes to explain it. Plus, you saw how Kurapika came to learn about Nen. And then later on, with Biscuit and Gon and Killua, she's explaining now, which is basically a second lesson, laying on top of the foundation of what they first learned Nen was. And as you see more and more people fight and engage each other, you get different explanations of what Nen are, what Nen is, and what Nen can be. So there's really no, he's like, to me, the most obvious example I can think of is with Chakra in Naruto, where basically very near episode one, they explain to you what all of that is and how it works. And that's a fine explanation to go with, I think, until things shift later. Like, you could have learned that, and then when you see people fighting each other later, it's not that confusing.
Yeah, like, you understand what's going on.
Whereas here, I don't think it's as easy.
No, I mean, and I understand that some people did look at the series and are like, oh, cool, awesome, I'm going to start from right here because it's what's available to me. But you don't have to. I mean, they have the series on digital print. They had a sale for it. It's also available. We told you guys last week it was available on print in Barnes & Noble. They had a sale, 40% off. Buy all the volumes. It's available to you. Plus, there's the anime. Anime is 100% free.
Yep.
From Crunchyroll, unless you want HD, which, like, I do, but I'm not going to say that you should. If you can't afford it, that's fine. Watch from the beginning because it's essential to the main story. You don't want to come in the middle. And that happened to certain series to me too. Like, for example, when Nisekoi came on Weekly Shonen Jump, I was like, I'm not even going to bother. It's like they're throwing us in like chapter 50. I don't care enough to go back and read, so I'm not even going to bother. So I just skip it from now on because there's other things to read. But if it really intrigues you, if it really interests you, and you really like what you're seeing in Hunter x Hunter, go back and read it. It's definitely worth it. You don't want to start reading at this point because you will miss out on a lot of things. You'd miss out on the intro arcs.
The main characters.
The main characters. We don't even think the main characters are going to show up at all in this next arc. That whole entire, you're missing the ant arc essentially.
Yeah.
You're missing that Chimera ant arc. You're missing Greed Island. I mean, the Phantom Trooper. I don't. The words can't. Words fail me right now to describe how not logical that would be to start right this second.
So again, if you don't read the manga, you can keep up with us at droppingthex.com. You can shoot us an email at hxhpodcast@gmail.com, or we're just on Twitter and Facebook at hxhpodcast. Now we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about manga chapter 342 and this email that we got from Ash. Straight out. Alright, so the chapter is called Ordnance. And if we remember from last time, Beyond the Taro had appeared in front of the Zodiacs and was basically like, arrest me. So they've hooked him up to the wall, and Cheadle's the only person in the room with him, because that makes sense.
It's a complete interrogation too, that's the best part.
Is that a toilet in the background?
Yep, there's a toilet. They have a toilet back there, and I guess this is a cell. They have an interrogation room, but it's a cell, so it's a two-way glass or two-way mirror, so only you can only see, he
the
can't see them,
can
but they
see
can see
in, but they can't, he can't see out.
Exactly. So like you said, Beyond Taro's in there and Cheadle's in there, and I can't tell, is that Taro talk or Beyond Taro talking?
Yeah.
Okay. Where he says, essentially he says that, let me guess, you can go ahead and this is what's going to happen. The organization, you're going to let me go and you're going to come with me. You're going to, all you guys are going to come with me to the Dark Continent.
And Cheadle's just like, come on. It's like, you're going to go under trial because of all the things that you've done. And you're going to go to jail for a very long time. You're delusional. And he's like, I knew you would say that. You're that kind of person. But sometimes, I guess there's a hidden truth. And it's not too late for you to tell V5 what you've heard from me. And he's really in detail recorder, digital recorder.
Yeah.
Just the only thing in this panel. Because I guess it's necessary to know this conversation is being recorded.
And yeah, and like,
and she tells him that he's going to be recorded, and she asks if that's okay.
It's like, yeah, do whatever you want. That panel up there is really interesting. Like, if you look at the like where Notaro, Beyond Notaro is sitting down, and we're looking at it from that angle, like that's really freaking cool.
Yeah, where they're all looking at him.
Yeah, in the background,
in various different expressions, because the big dude looks shocked.
Sheep, right? He's a sheep?
Yes, that's what he is. Bizarre Storm just kind of looks like he's just there. Monkey Dude looks bored. Kanzai looks, I don't know, like he's still lost.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on. He is not a smart individual. And then Dragon's just pissed.
So he's like, I don't really care if you record me, but the question will be whether you could take a official statement from what I've said, I guess, to give to V5 and the public. And she's saying that looking at this dude, even though he looks just like Netero, makes me nervous. I guess she's terrified of what he might say or do. And she's like, the only thing we know is that we're the ones that are under attack. He says, first things first, since you've come prepared, let's talk about what V5 is saying they're doing publicly.
Yeah, and then we get a picture of, once again, the world and how it is.
And then I threw everything.
Why is that?
Because the world map, upside down Earth, is nested in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
And this lake is in the middle of the Dark Continent. That's what they were talking about when they're saying, like, going outside.
Yeah.
Because the world is basically an island in the middle of a lake that's bordered by the Dark Continent in every direction.
Yeah, it's not a round world, it's a flat world. At least this, it's upside down Earth, but it's not three-dimensional, it's only two-dimensional, so.
So he says that there were over 149 attempts to go to the Dark Continent in the last few years, and out of all of those, only 28 total survivors came back. And he's like, she says, on top of that, the only one that is still alive today is you. And she says that the 5 successful voyages were all ones that weren't sanctioned by, it says G5, I think they mean V5.
Yeah, it's V5.
Confused about real life.
Yeah.
And are known as unofficial voyages that were done with the aid of guides. And guides is in what would effectively be quotes. So my guess is that something from the outside helping them. And like in each picture, the world gets smaller, and
yeah,
everything else gets bigger.
This is the guy's presentation, by the way. This isn't.
Okay.
Is no longer. Yeah, when those little quote things are like.
Okay. It's
the, this is the guy talking in the background.
V5.
Yeah.
So. He says that without those guides, it would be impossible for humans to get past the ocean. So he's saying that in reality, mankind never made it to the outside, at least not in an officially sanctioned voyage. So
yeah.
without the help of the guides, they've never made it there and back. And he says the survivors were all people with medalists, which I would guess would be like Olympic.
Well, it says level of a track and field medalist.
Right.
So.
Strength
with
and
incredible luck.
So with all that, only 3 people managed to clear all testing and went back to their daily lives. So out of those, I guess 7,500 total people that traveled on those voyages, only 3 were able to go there, come back, and be normal. And he puts the rate of survival at 0.04. So there's absolutely no way that a regular civilian could do this. And
and then Hillary Clinton says, who are these guides?
And the person next to her says that they're people who are, they're the guardians of the Dark Continent, the entrance. So they're watchdogs. And the person's like, watchdogs? He's like, God damn it, would you just read the work that we give you?
Well, I feel like it's like very much like with politicians. They're like, wait, what? What's going on? And
like,
then the staffer, the guy was like,
I have an assistant to read the papers. What are you talking
about? Yeah, it's like, I don't read papers. That's for poor people. Poor people give me the news. So the guy's like, God damn it. Okay, so go ahead and read. But essentially, it's a magical bestial species have the sole connection to the continent. Without any negotiating with them, it's incredibly difficult to voyage into the Dark Continent. So we don't even know what these like things look like. And then, meanwhile, during the presentation, another lady asks a question that if everything that's been presented so far has been well documented, she wonders that if the trump cards, the 5 great calamities that are coming, would all be the same. And then there's this huge debacle about people like not knowing what the hell the five great calamities are. Like, basically, the guy just gave a presentation about everything that he knows, and nobody paid attention except for this lady with a scarf.
Yep.
And then Jesus, this guy is hideous. But there's other guy basically comes in. I'm guessing these are all like the head leaders of V5. He says that no matter how big the risk for adventurers chasing the dreams, that's all they need for them to go. It's essentially gasoline for them. It's fuel, and they want to go and explore. So for his solution is, you know what, just give them the money, go to bed, wait for the results, and more like the proper country with, you know, corporate interests, you know, like we obviously people want to go there because there's money to be made somehow with these things, but so I just throw money at the problem and let it solve itself out. And then this other guy, another V5 member basically says, he's like, you know, I'm not qualified to be talking about these hopeful participants, but we want to know about this public attempt at stopping progress on caulking. And the guy making the presentation comes back and he starts talking about that the data.
We got more paper for you to read.
Yeah, there's a lot more information being thrown at you.
And he's just talking about the Charter of the United Nations, and I'm just like, skip.
Yeah, again, it's like a lot. It's a lot of heavy text-based stuff. Not very much going on.
The V5 in a split panel, and he's like, basically, he says all of that to say we have to invite Kak into V5, and we have to make them sort of be a part of our decision-making process so they can realize how stupid the plan is that they're trying to do.
Yeah, so we will make it a V6. We shall organize ourselves as V6 as part of caulking, and then we shall support the five countries behind the scenes. Inevitably, we'll need to show caulking that we have readied all preparations and ready to be, you know, to be representatives of the six continents. From that point forward, it shall be acknowledged and documentation is divided into six equal parts. And I do think that those five people down there are the V5. So yeah. So we do have the V5 there. We just don't have names for them. We have glasses guy, old lady, fucked up nose guy, normal looking dude, and then scarf lady.
That guy clearly is American. Look at that chisel chin.
So we have, do we want to go completely racist on this?
I think that woman is Indian.
So she's Indian.
Something similar.
Yeah. A darker skin tone color, obviously, because...
Yeah, he goes out of his way to shade it.
Yeah.
I think the next person is American.
Clearly.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Either or German. Maybe he's German. Yeah. And the next person is American or British.
Yeah.
I'm torn between whether the middle guy is British or whether the... I think the other four are all guys. Whether the guy at the end is British.
That guy at the end is not a guy. That's a woman.
Are you sure that's a woman? I am.
Dude, go back to...
I know. I understand the page where you said it was a woman.
Yeah.
You called...
She had long fingernails.
Say, okay, I guess. I didn't see the hand.
Yeah, the hand. If you look at the hand, she's got long fingernails.
Maybe she's Angela Merkel. I don't know.
Yeah. So she could be German, but the dude next to her is clearly Asian-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be from, like, Japan, China, whatever. But so essentially everybody's represented by these five categories. These are the five leaders. Then we switch over to the next part, and then essentially it's a lot more of text, but what it boils down to is talking about the immigration in and out of the vicinity of the borderline of the ocean limits. We can call this as the virtual new continent, and for all the hopeful immigrants, we can just send them there to start their new lives.
Yeah, it's a way to fool the people that would never survive in the outside world.
Yeah.
And just tell them they're going to the dark continent, but really put them on these uninhabited islands. And then the next problem. So that would get rid of all the people that are excited to go and explore the dark continent. Just let them mess around with these places. And then, but the real problem is what to do about Beyond the Tarot.
Yeah. So now we have to figure this out. You know, we have to have Cocking, and then we also have to solidify V5's union. And then the lady says that, you know, but with V5, all of our eyes on attention, how will the Hunter Association proceed? Are they going to be okay? And the guy says, you know, right now the organization has been commissioned to capture Beyond the Tarot. After they complete the capture, then we will switch over to persuasion maneuvers to figure out, you know, if they succeed in their negotiations with both insurgent factions and the then the organization will approve in its value and use. And then Lady from Scarf Lady goes, what if they fail? And he goes, well, then we'll have to move negotiations ourselves to the head of Cocking. V6 will certainly be able to handle these affairs. However, if we can't use the organization, we will not be able to get in as unofficial part of the approval committee. And then in that case, based on our calculations, our agency will endure a fiscal crisis resulting in costs increasing up to 25-fold. So either everything works and we're okay, or we are essentially going to be fucking bankrupt as a society. So they all agree to it, and they're like, okay, fine, this makes sense. And they all sign it, sign this document to basically be V6 and have Cocking be part of the organization.
So it switches back to Beyond and Cheadle talking, and Cheadle's not behind the table, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
He says that the reason why they launched this open door policy was so they could solidify this alternative. And if they hadn't done that, then V5 would not have made their move, and the whole plan would have been ruined. And she says that the immigrant and public safety plan, being a part of their goals, lessens the risk. And Beyond the Tarot is like, well, wouldn't you reconsider the dangers? He's like, that's brave, but stupid in the long term. So if you mess up, you wouldn't be able to use the excuse that you had. And she tells him that he doesn't have to worry about the Hunter organization that she is president of, and he should be worried about himself. And you go back to Kansai, who's just like, they're just talking.
I don't get it. What is going on?
They're making noises, but I don't get it. And the horse dude tells him that in exchange for making Beyond Kakin's king, he became the ticket to the Dark Continent. And since they couldn't do anything with their powers as V5, they sent them to look for Beyond the Tarot. He's like, well, that doesn't sound good for us. And the Snake Lady is like, you know, high risk, high return. And if we fail, we'll lose all the good faith from the Permit Bureau. And if we succeed, we can get recognition for our work on the Dark Continent. So the probability of the association helping mankind is pretty high. They're like,
yeah,
being shot at the camera for whatever reason.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, I think he's, the thing about Togashi is, like, he takes very, very, like, different panels, like the panel where he had the voice recorder.
I think it works with...
He just likes to draw.
I think it works with what he's saying. Yeah. It's showing a close up of the camera because obviously all of the Zodiacs can listen from the outside panel. They don't have any reason to be using the camera.
No, other but than I think they're recording it just because.
Other of than the for V5 to be able to see.
Yeah.
And he's like, in any case, call them and you'll understand. It's like, tell them that Tell Beyond will agree to let you go if you go with an observer. And the observer has to be something from the Hunters organization. And that'll work if V5 still trusts you. And he's like, that's all I have to tell you. The real ring is a Dark Continent. And he asks her if she's going. And she's like, to herself, like, this is a battle. And if we don't go with him and fight as a group, we're going to be in danger. And she's like, okay, sure. If what you told us was the whole truth, we'll accept your challenge and go with you. But there's something I need to know first. And he's, like, looking like a Street Fighter villain now.
Yeah.
It's like that's all I needed to hear. Take everything you want. And she realizes that he's really the chairman's son, and he's ready to use the association just so he can get what he wants.
Yep. And then she tells he tells Cao to contact V5, and he does. And the Zodiacs are still debating. You know, they're talking about, you know, we ended up coming up here, so we're gonna do this without our will. It was all done with underhanded tactics, but I guess this is the fastest way to get V5 on a dark continent. Without even hesitating to use any of the below-the-belt attacks, our sly opponent had drawn us into the Devil's Continent. So they're not very happy that this is happening.
No, I mean, who wants to die?
Some people are, yeah. So now they're like, okay, our essentially our pride and our allure is on the table. We have to make sure that we stand by. We can't lose no matter what happens. And Cheadle essentially comes in and she says, it looks like we will be going to the Dark Continent, so everybody...
pack your best underwear.
Yeah, make sure you bring plenty because you're going to be soiling yourselves. This is a top secret mission from V5. This is a job sanctioned by the organization, so let's go. And then Tiger comes in. He's like, okay, so where are we going? What's going on? And Snake... how this was translated is just it cracked me up because it just says, wow, you're just wow. Essentially just talking about how stupid he is, just like, pay attention, man. Just, and then she explains to him, like, okay, so this is what's happening. Beyond is going to get transported to the Dark Continent while he's imprisoned. There he will escape and be free to do as he pleases. He's like, while he's under our supervision, we will repel his comrades. And besides, we need to discover a solution to the calamity. So they're going to be going with the, Beyond Otero with his group and them as the group. And they're also going to have to keep an eye on him while at the same time figuring out what the hell to do with the calamity. And then they show this panel of the water is pretty fucking amazing. It's pretty cool. A lot of different tones. Snake, I believe, is still talking. She mentions that, you know, we're not really sure what sort of attacks are going to be coming at us, but we have to remember that this is a completely unknown place, so be ready for anything. And then the next panel, I believe, is when you were just like... the next panel is Cao talking about... isn't that what the whole point of being a hunter is? Being ready for whatever? And... Cheadle says, yep, that's exactly what it is. Then Sheep goes, okay, during this trip, we're going to have to understand, get to know Beyond, and then go on an adventure together or something. Like, I think he's trying to talk about it in his mind.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be able to hold hands with him and skip through the fields together.
Yeah.
Be best friends.
It's like, we're going to go on an adventure together. It's going to be fantastic.
And then the rooster chicken lady is like... I don't know what world you're from, but there's no way that's going to happen. You're far too optimistic. And the horse dude is like, okay, Cheadle, go do what you have to do. We'll watch him. And she turns to Beyond Otero and tells him that he should be prepared because it's going to be a long period of time under arrest. And he's like, long arrest? Okay. I'm going to wait as long as it takes.
Yeah. Like, I've been waiting for my dad to die. I can't wait a couple more days. I'm good to go. That old bastard was never going to die.
He's already been alive for, like, probably 400 years at this point.
And then we go back to the guy at the presentation, and from last chapter, his boss guy, you know, saying, hey, you know, good job. Nice presentation. And the guy's like, yeah, thanks, but I'm not sure. Was that really okay? And the guy goes, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, you know, to go along with the orders and, you know, give that huge sample for everything single possible, for every single possible risk. Isn't this what's going to go against the departments who decided they didn't want to go regardless of all the dangers going on? And the director, I guess, comes in. He's like, you know, there's no problem for that. Or, you know, it's as accurate as we can possibly get it. We have to take this no matter what the risk. Even if our clients decide to travel or not, we have to present them with the most secure path. That is our job. And then if they want to do it or not, that's up to them. And we are not liable for that. That is their choice. We can only provide them with the best information that we possibly can. And he's like, yeah, so something's still bothering you? And he's like, well, we don't know. Like, the stance on the department is that all the travel logs that were coming back are labeled as fantasy. But the book that was once created was a reference to that world. And then the director kind of pats him on the back. It's like, ha, you're like me. You'll definitely become a manager someday. And they're walking through this palace or something, or this like museum, and in the back of his mind, he's like, you know, honestly, having an honest and peaceful world is most important. That's what I really care about. But is the two piece? But of the two, oh, that's what he's like, being honest and peaceful. And he's like, well, honestly, we want peace to be more important than honest. That's the thing that we care about the most.
And then the next shot is of the pier, and a giant whale thing. And they're like, hey, look, it's the giant transport ship, Black Whale number one. It can hold up to 200,000 people at once. And they're like, on the inside, it's super basic because all we care about is mobility. And but that makes it low cost and possible to quickly manufacture a lot of them. So it's like, our hero, the king of Hoikoro.
I think this is Kaking, right?
The
legendary. He's like, the legendary king Hoikoro says that by next year we'll have 20 more of these ships.
And in 5 years' time, he promised to send 1 million people to the Dark Continent. So this is the commemorative first ship that will be transporting their king beyond the Taro and another 14 princes. It's like, so which of these ships will the average civilian be able to ride on will be decided by lottery, but one out of 1,300 might make it onto the first trip, on the first ship. And you're like, it's not just a dream. So it goes inside.
These are numbers, people. They don't lie.
And it appears to be a news panel of some sort. I can see a guy holding a camera.
Yeah.
And it looks like some producers on the side, too. And it's like, so, okay, let's talk about these immigration plans. And they're like, yeah, let's do that. But a lot of people are also concerned about the risks. And it's like, according to the announcement by the Permit Bureau regarding risk, it said that the highest would be rank C. But really, how dangerous are the creatures that we're talking about? And so this old guy with this magnificent hair. It's like, for example, bears, sharks, poisonous snakes, and large bees. It's like the kind where you only meet if you have really bad luck and will obviously kill you. That's sea level. And since apparently the netizens find it hard to believe that the Dark Continent has A and B ranked highly dangerous creatures. And he's like, yeah, sure. That's speculation. These people probably think that those creatures are the reason why we haven't gone to the Dark Continent. But the words, cross the sea and disaster will fall upon reaching the new continent, have appeared quite frequently on ancient artifacts, and we concluded that's probably due to germs and viruses contracted there that caused death. So he's saying if we focus on vaccines and healthcare and antibacterials, we'll be fine. And he says that they continue, but these bacteria found mostly in liquid forms or natural ores to maintain creation. So I guess we could say that these are dream items, the liquids and the ores that could help mankind develop even further. Yeah. And he's saying that this trip to the Dark Continent will be mankind's biggest gold rush ever for the next 10 years. And then he says that the Dark Continent is a continent of dreams. And that's happening while Jin walks into this area that has Beyond Netero's zodiacs.
Yeah, and the guys, the TV was on in the background, by the way. So that's where that was coming from. But we get to see all the cool people we missed out on when we got that cliffhanger chapter right before the hiatus. We get to see them again, and obviously there's Peristone.
And Jin's like, yo, with my scraggly beard.
Yep.
It's like, let me in on the fun. You said you wouldn't turn away anyone that was interested, and he's like, ah, okay. I thought you came here to stop me. He's like, yeah, that's why, but in all this hubbub, it's down to two choices. Either to be with the world when the association takes Beyond the Terror's provocation, when they basically do what he wants, or to be with the Hunter organization when the time comes. And he says, send in 5,000 Chimeras. And he says, that's enough, isn't it? Like, isn't the association already a box of fun? Don't stir up any more than is necessary. And he's just like, I'll be your playmate from now on until you give up. And Pariston's like, finally, someone who would keep me company. And Jin says, company, I don't quite agree with that. Like, I could be playing alone. And the chapter ends. And I don't know what any of this was.
So I'm still confused as to what the hell is going on with the last stuff, because I know he had Chimera ants that he kind of went in, and like all the eggs that basically were not hatched, he took them for himself, and he was like, he had like a shitload of them, right? So I don't know if Jin is saying, you know what, you don't need people, how about you just go and then bring those things along with you.
I don't know, he's saying, like, I saw a theory, it's like, he's saying to, instead of doing all this, to where they're dragging in basically the rest of humanity along with them.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that and encouraging people to basically get themselves killed trying to go to the Dark Continent, I guess release the Chimera Ants, have them deal with that, and while they're distracted, you go off to the Dark Continent and do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm here now, so you don't need anybody else as your sidekick.
Okay, so then that happens. But then, so we got Jin versus Pariston, which is almost as good as Hisoka versus Pariston.
Yeah. If Hisoka was a deadbeat dad.
Yeah, well,
but she probably could be
for
is.
All you know. Yeah, I'm like, he could be for all you know. He could be having, if it was up to him, he'd be Machi's. He could have a thing with Machi so fast.
If it was up to him, yeah. Luckily for all of us, it's not up to him.
It's not up to him at all. I don't know what to think of this chapter. I honestly don't. There's a lot of material to go through. I mean, essentially, we have the Dark Continent, and then we have V5, who's trying to make these. To make it's very political, essentially, very fucking political. Who's trying to make it so that they can save people by basically expanding their borders and having these, like, the people who sign up go to these islands who have not been inhabited yet, but it's not technically the Dark Continent, and kind of like have their fill of the land there and enjoy it. Meanwhile, have Kakin join V5, and then essentially send the Zodiacs plus this group that Pariston is in into the Dark Continent to figure out how the fuck, like, you know, to get a peace to them, be like, okay, do this, and then the world will at least benefit in some way, because the Zodiacs, if they go, they discover things, they can find a solution to the dark to the calamities, at the same time appeasing to Beyond Atero's demands, and they don't have a choice, they're going. So the Zodiacs are going, the Tarot Zodiacs are going, Jin is going, Pariston is going, Chimera Ants are involved somehow, and that's it so far, right?
Yep, that's all we
did
know.
Miss
at
anything?
This point.
Yeah. So going back to my question that I posed last week. Where the fuck do the main characters come into this? They don't. Not at all.
Yeah, I still think that they don't fit in. Not in the least bit. I think that they'll probably, because you never know, he might think that the suggestion Jin made was funny and do it. And unleash the Chimera Ants that he does have.
And then what? He'll send in...
No, I mean, and then that's where the regular characters would come in fighting off these Chimera Ants. Because I think that's the only way they could be useful. Because the assumption would be that they would obviously be much weaker than the king and the royal guard. Unless he added stuff to their DNA to make them more dangerous. They would definitely be very occupied with fighting them off. And probably very angry, because not able to deal with them again.
Yeah, I'm not sure how. I mean, I feel like if they do come in, I'm gonna be super skeptical about how it's done.
Yeah.
Like, I have to believe it, because so far right now, this is an issue concerning, yeah, the Hunter Association, but the Zodiacs are essentially taking care of it.
Mm-hmm. They're not needed.
Yeah. None of the main characters are needed in this arc.
Every arc that they've interfered in has basically been, like, something happened while they were somewhere. And instead of, because I forget the magic term they use, but they, like, zapped to where Kite was. And so they became entangled in what Kite was doing.
Yeah.
It was never a situation where the Hunter organization, like, put up a mission and they accepted it. And that's how they got involved. It's always been, well, they came here looking to meet with Kurapika. And while they were there, Kurapika was doing this other thing. So to prevent him from getting himself killed, they helped. And with Greed Island, all he knew was Greed Island was something that his dad did. So it would help him with trying to find his dad. And that's how he got involved with the bomber situation. Like, it was never, like, the main characters, which would be, I think, the case here if they'd made it public, where they sent out looking for hunters who could deal with an A-class mission, which I think, with what everything Gon and Killua have gone through, they technically can. And they responded to an ad and ended up on the team. That's not going to happen here.
Yeah.
So if they show up as a part of it, yeah, I'd feel ripped off, because that would just be them getting shoehorned into an arc that they don't belong in.
But, I mean, and that's one of the things that I'm going to have to see how it's done. Because clearly it's going to happen at some point. If it doesn't, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be great. Like Doc said last week, you know, if this whole entire time he was gone because he was trying to convince him, hey, I don't want... I don't want to have... the main characters in this next arc, and they were fighting against them for it. You know, essentially that could be a potential ending to most series, but maybe they're like, okay, well, we'll trust you, we'll see what it is. But I don't know. Could be different things.
I will say he might be smarter than we are, so I'm pretty sure he is. So he may have found a way to work them in that we're just not going to understand until we see it. But until then, like I said earlier, I don't see anybody other than Killua possibly having value in this arc. And then maybe he hears about their journey to the Dark Continent and thinks that that's important for Aluka. Because other than that, there's no excuse for any of them to be there.
Right. And I agree. I agree. There is no way that they could. I don't see it, but yeah. Maybe there's something I'm not seeing, because obviously I don't have the whole picture in front of me. But at least on the positive side, I do enjoy that we are going to get more character development with the Zodiacs, because I thought they were something that was brought in that was cool, that we didn't really get a chance to really see how they really fought.
We didn't get to see how they fought at all, what kind of abilities they have. Yeah. Anything other than knowing they decided on some really tragic plastic surgery.
Right. And that's essentially it.
Just because Netero was like, you guys should be Zodiac themed.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, except for two people who were like, nope, too handsome. And those two, of course, being Jin and Barristan.
Of course. Of course, that was those were the people you were talking about.
I don't know. I felt like I had to clarify with that awkward silence there.
No. I got you. I'm looking at this panel right now between that has Jin looking at Perestone, and I can't tell if that's his N that he's putting out, or is that just the way that he talked about it? Like, is that just like the background where two people are clashing, sort of a thing?
Possibly.
So,
I
like,
mean,
he's like, yeah, I'm serious.
I
Like,
think that's a real threat with Nen.
yeah.
And Paracelsus just chilling with his pupilless eyes.
Yeah. He's like, oh, watch me in my spacesuit. It's like you decided to join me. It's like, nope.
His suit is actually very toned down. So I guess the flashy suits were like, that was his way to stand out amongst all the weirdos in the Zodiac.
Okay, look at the a bunch of weirdos are in this fucking living room, though.
Yeah, but he's,
Like,
I
what the
don't know.
fuck is that guy doing in the bottom? Is he playing with sand? Oh no, is that a map? Is that a puzzle? Oh, it's a puzzle.
I mean, he's just not threatened by them.
I just realized he's building a puzzle with the girl of Upside Down World, and then the other guys are playing chess, and one of the guys is just, is
Serving
that
a meal?
a, yeah, no, I'm trying to remember like who these people are. I'm gonna have to go back and read that chapter of the Zodiacs, or sorry, these people, they're not Zodiacs, we don't know what they are yet.
Keep calling them that because his dad had Zodiac, so of course he's gonna want to do the same exact thing.
Right.
But to get to the email,
Yeah.
Ash emailed us, which you could do at hxhpodcast@gmail.com, and says, I wanted to tweet this question after I read the latest chapter, but I didn't want to spoil people who are waiting on Monday for the Viz translation. Okay, my question is, even though it's going to be a difficult answer since Hunter x Hunter is so unpredictable in where it's going right now, what do you think Jin's motives and his strategy are on how he'll get to the Dark Continent? Seeing as Beyond Netero's in custody, I'm guessing that Jin might take charge of his expedition. Also, what do you think his abilities might be and what Nen category he'll fall under? I'm guessing specialization since he's been referred to as a powerful character on more than one occasion. Keep up the awesome work, guys. So I'm not sure how whether they read. I guess this question would have been after 341 rather than 342. Now that I look at it.
Yeah.
But obviously he's going to attempt to use Parastone and Beyond Netero to get into the Dark Continent. And what do we think his abilities might be? Gon being Enhancer, it's easy to guess that he might also be one. Seeing as when we look at Killua's family, with almost all of them except for Killua falling under the same type, as I think they all have the same type that his mother does, and only Killua and his dad have a different one.
Yeah.
So it's possible that he and Gon are both enhancers, but it's also possible that Gon's mother was an enhancer, and that's why he has that. But otherwise, their personality seems to be pretty close.
Well, for one, Jin and Gon are completely different people.
No, I mean, yes, they're different people, but they both have that huge capacity for dickery.
Yeah, no, what I meant in the sense of like, okay, characteristically speaking,
Well, one's an adult and the other is just a kid who still has a lot of room to develop into the horrible bastard that he's gonna be.
I was gonna go more with the fact that Gon is all about his friends. Meanwhile, Jin gives no fucks about anybody
Well, that's probably
but himself.
because Jin already alienated all of the people that would have been friends with him.
All of his friends said goodbye.
That's probably why they're so angry at him. The Zodiacs, that is. Because they were trying to be friends with this douche. And he's just dicking them over all the time. But his friends who made Greed Island with him still seem to like him. So, I guess he does have that capacity to be a really good friend. It's just that I guess he doesn't like the Zodiacs. So we don't really get to see that from him.
Yeah, I mean I'm really interested to see how this plays out. Mostly because I'm hoping that there is no involvement of any side characters or any of the main characters, and essentially it just becomes this. Like this is it. Gon met his dad, Gon had his fun. He realized what it is like to be a grown up and make these crazy decisions like he did. Luckily for him, his friend happened to have a magical sister,
Yeah, his friend happened to have the MacGuffin that was needed to heal.
Right.
So he's fine.
So he's okay. So he can have his fun trying to do his thing.
And that's really what I hated most about that arc.
Was
Because
that Gon was
you
okay?
get set up in the Chimera Ant arc to believe that, okay, Gon made this huge, powerful sacrifice, and even if he survives, he wouldn't be able to use Nen again. And then Killua comes and brings this creature, and he makes a wish saying, I want you to heal everything about Gon so he would still be able to use Nen. And this is like, that is just the shittiest cop out in the world. But whatever, show.
Well, it's one again one of those things that I doubt that you can have a change of because main character.
Yeah, I understand that. And probably it's a compromise. Or like, make it so this guy can come back and still be relevant instead of, like, basically killing him off, even if he didn't actually die. So we could still use him for merchandising and whatnot.
Yeah.
If we let you move on to tell the story about somebody else.
Well, so hopefully that happens, and I'm like, there's no involvement of them because I don't see where they would fit. But again, I just feel like people would get mad.
Of
Like, where's
course.
Gon? Where's Gon? And so, can you imagine, again, going back to what we were talking about earlier, can you imagine just coming into this and be like, what the fuck is going on? What
What?
is all of this shit? Like, all of this text about. That was a heavy ass text chapter. A lot of info dump. Which is nothing like what I would imagine, like what most Shonen Jump are at all.
I don't get picking this up. In this arc, I'm thinking this is an interesting comic.
Nope, not at all.
I would be
If
like,
anything, it'd be the opposite. I feel like if I picked this up and I'd be like, what the fuck is this? I don't know. I politics and all these things about zodiacs and dark continent. Yeah, no, this is too complex.
the person I identified most with in this chapter was Kansai. I just did not know what was going on. And like, I was listening because I have to. But I still don't get it. That's how I feel right now.
Like you read that. You threw things at everything when you
Yeah,
first read it.
for my solid map, I was just like, you just decided you're gonna fuck with me, and I don't appreciate that. Next thing you're gonna say is there's dinosaurs in the Dark Continent, and then the humans are gonna decide to make some sort of park where they could freely come and visit the dinosaurs and expect that never to go badly.
Nope, because nature will take its course.
It's like, yeah, don't worry, these are specially bred dinosaurs that don't eat meat.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
Let's feed him a goat.
all kinds of children are dying.
No, the children didn't die. It was all adults.
Yeah, but this is Hunter Hunter we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. I mean, we've already seen children get massacred and murdered. Let's not forget about that. Like Reyna.
Yep.
Poor Reyna.
Well, she still lived, though. Just
Sure.
not humanly, but she still
Yeah.
lived.
I'm like, sure
And
she lived.
her brother too, so if their mother ever finds out about that, like, she'll
That
be
rules.
happy.
Her mother's dead.
Mother died?
Yeah, the mother died, remember?
Did she?
I thought she did.
No, because
Oh,
Reyna came back to
no.
the
Right.
village.
Right. The mother
Because
didn't
remember,
die, yeah.
she wasn't there when they got taken.
Yeah, nope. I remember now. That's true.
She saw her and she was all happy. She's like, "You're still my daughter, even though you can't speak
Yeah,
and you're
it's
kind of
okay.
weird looking. I still love you. No one else will, but I still love
Yeah.
you."
Mother. That's what we're here for. So, okay. That's the chapter. You guys have any thoughts, questions, anything? Make sure to email us.
There's no way they don't have questions.
Yeah. So, anything that you have, email us. We may not have the answers. We won't have the answers. I'll tell you that much right now. But it'll be fun to speculate and talk about next week. Again, you can email us at
I'm glad to
at
see that
gmail.com.
happened to someone other than me.
Yeah. Well, it's you try saying it like X and H at the same time. It gets a little confusing. But I mean, if we could, we could change it to dropping the X at gmail.com.
We could do that, yeah.
Yeah, since we. aren't really affiliated with anything, regardless of that. But in the meantime, it's still a hxhpodcast@gmail.com.
What?
I'm getting tongue-tied.
I can tell.
Yeah. You could follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Again, HXH podcast. Jesus Christ. And the phone number that you could reach us at too, if you within the United States and you want to call us, Foxy.
Oh, I thought you were actually going to say it. 954-324-7722. It's 954-324-SSAA. I have no idea if Mike is still paying for that. But
yeah, I don't know, but you can call it, see what happens. Yeah.
If you get through and you hear Mike's voice on the voicemail, just say you're leaving a message about Hunter Hunter, and he will forward it to us. All right.
Sounds good. So we will see you guys next week on Dropping the X.
傷つけ誰にも打ち明けずに悩んでたそれももう I'm not